Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Karate Cafe. I'm Gene Myers. I'm a third dan in Shorinru, Shorinkan Karate. And I'm joined tonight by Pete and Marie Shambo, both Nidans in Shorinru Shotokan Karate. We train at the Finger Lakes Dojo in Auburn, New York. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Good evening, Gene.
Yes, how very proper we are tonight. We weren't going to really do a podcast this week. We're going to kind of take the week off just because of the Thanksgiving holiday here in the States. But we decided to do a podcast just to kind of pay a brief tribute to who we think is a great actor, Pat Morita. Pat Morita played Mr. Miyagi in the Karate Kid series. And although he never trained formally in a martial art, he's probably one of the most famous senseis in the world, thanks to the Karate Kid movies. Wouldn't you guys say?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah. Not a martial artist in this world doesn't know, you know, the Karate Kid story by heart, at least the first one. And we'll probably quote Mr. Miyagi, you know, with some of his famous lines. I know. We have several dojo mates, myself included, who tend to do Mr. Miyagi impressions. But nevertheless, you know, I think Pat Morita was a good actor. He was a kind, gentle, and very intelligent man. And he had a hard life. And right in the middle of it, he just kind of shifted gears and went from working in an aerospace laboratory in California to being a comedic actor. So, I mean, that takes a lot of guts to do that. But anyway, I'm kind of reminiscing a little bit about the man. What do you guys have to say about him?
Well, my thoughts are probably 90% of martial artists today, at least, to some extent at least, owe becoming a martial artist to the character of Mr. Miyagi. You know, that was a lot of people's introduction to martial arts in the first place. One of the websites I said was, one of the websites I read earlier today said that, this was their guess, 80% of people probably never heard of the martial arts, of kids growing up in the 80s never heard of the martial arts before that movie. And after that movie, everybody wanted to be just like Daniel-san with a Mr. Miyagi character as a mentor.
Hmm. What are your thoughts, Marie?
Well, personally, I spoke about this last week, that I thought that, when we had got into our discussion about how the media could influence karate participation, and I saw it then as a positive, and I still do, getting kids of all ages and adults to come down to the dojo to try to be like Daniel or try to be like Mr. Miyagi, I saw it was a positive influence. And again, the character itself, a good-natured old gentleman, surprisingly enough, Pat Morita was only 53 years old when he played Mr. Miyagi, and I always thought he was much older. the fact that this kindly old man could turn into a martial artist when he had to, and teaching the effect that you use karate only for defense, sort of brought that to being, where the Cobra Kai's were using it as a sport, and he taught Daniel, right from wrong. And that's basically, I think, the basics, the basic of all martial arts in my mind, not whether or not I can kick somebody's butt, but whether or not I can use it if I need to.
Well, the Cobra Kai Dojo, they weren't really doing it as a sport. I'd have to disagree with you there. I agree with everything else you said, but they were the really badass kind of guys,
right?
Yeah. And I think Corey started a blog on, or started a thread on no good or there's no bad student, only bad teacher. Mm-hmm. And Miyagi in the first Karate Kid movie got into that a little bit. You know, he says, you know, teacher say, student do. Mm-hmm. And so he's just trying to, you know, excuse the behavior of the characters. Do you guys know who the antagonist was for Daniel-san, what his name was?
Johnny.
Yeah,
Johnny. What? Johnny Lawrence.
Johnny Lawrence, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny, the kid who played him was really a martial artist.
Yeah, that was
pretty
clear.
And years later, I don't know if I was asking Peter about this today, there was a show called The Equalizer.
I remember that.
He played the son and used his martial arts quite well in that show.
Really?
But when I meant it was using it as a sport, I meant it, you know, sort of sarcastically, a sport of kicking kids' butts, because that's basically what they did, you know? I mean, anybody that was less than them, they would use it as sort of like a reason to, you know, to hurt somebody.
Well, Mr. Miyagi, the character, and Pat Morita, well, a lot of times in a movie, the actor's just reading the words or reciting the words that are written for them, but... from what I've understood, from what I've research I've done, Pat Morita brought a lot of his own experience, life experience, to his role. So it's a combination. Mr. Miyagi is a combination of the screenwriter and Pat Morita's experience. But Pat Morita treated the art, not as a sport, not as something to for exercise. He treated it as more of what life is, you know, life lessons than
he was using Zen teaching.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But you know, there's also a little bit of an irony in that he selects a tournament for Daniel to redeem himself or
right.
stand up to Mr. Lawrence. You know.
Yeah.
Johnny Lawrence. So, I mean, I agree with you guys, you know, where he felt that you should only use the martial arts as, you know, defensive only, and yet he's the one that decides when and where Daniel is going to meet Johnny Lawrence, and it's at a tournament, a very public kind of a thing, where you actually do strike first, and probably,
right.
you know, the person that strikes first has a good better than average chance to win, you know?
Well, you think that we're just analyzing... the movie now, but do you think, I know they used it for dramatic, significance, but in a real situation where if they were just fighting one-on-one in the street, do you think Daniel would have prevailed, more, or he needed the rules of a karate tournament, he needed that kind of thing in order to prevail?
Well, take a fast forward to Karate Kid 4 with, what's her name?
Hillary Swank.
And she uses her karate in a defensive, you know, manner against these school tough guys on the street. You know, and there's no tournament there.
Right.
And in the second Karate Kid movie, Ralph Macchio, he's in a fight. That's the one where they went over to Okinawa.
Right.
And he's in a fight with one of, with the Okinawan equivalent of Johnny Lawrence.
Right.
And there's no tournament there.
And he's fighting for his life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
One thing I've been trying to find out, and I've been unsuccessful, is if Pat Morita was, what his religious beliefs were, if he was a Buddhist and if he was a practicing Buddhist. Because it could be said of Mr. Miyagi having Daniel go to the tournament is, a Buddhist principle is you take what you get. You know, you accept what's around you. What he saw that Daniel had to defend himself, and he saw, I believe that Mr. Miyagi in the movie saw the tournament as the vehicle by which Daniel would defend himself.
That could explain the irony. You know, that could explain that irony.
Well, that's also taking the forum into Johnny's big... You know, that was his big title. He was the champion. He was the All-Valley champion. Mm-hmm. And to bring it right to him and take it away from him, that was the ultimate defeat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, sort of like bringing it into his own backyard.
But, you know, some of the more interesting aspects of the Karate Kid movies to me, and about the Miyagi character specifically, was how he used just regular, routine domestic tasks to improve this kid's, or to train this kid in basic, you know, blocks, you know?
Right.
And it was ingenious on the part of the writers to have the movie play out like that, I thought. Because you don't know why he's having him do all this stuff. He says, "Yo, you in karate training?" And what's he doing? He's waxing cars and painting fences and, you know, painting the house.
I wonder if in old time Okinawa and Japan, fathers taught sons in a similar way.
Well, that's a question for Kyoshi's Hurten and Estrada.
Yeah, exactly.
But
because, you know, there might be some sort of, you know, background to that kind of thing. And, I mean, yeah, it was good for dramatic effect. But, you know, I mean, that could come about from a very simple kind of thing, you know, that, you know, I mean, nobody called them, you know, high-rising blocks or anything like that. It was, you know...
But the interesting thing
it was
is
grab for the fence or something like
the
that.
The three of us... The interesting thing is the three of us are karate practitioners, and you talk to other karate practitioners, and maybe it was done, maybe it wasn't done, but it's plausible.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he... the Daniel character was a genius in that, you know, he was able to immediately go from... You know, the
wax off to
turning that into outside blocks or shoot those strikes or whatever the heck you know he had him do.
Well,
the interesting thing, another interesting part of it is at the very end he wins with a crane kick of all things,
right?
Which is, you know, highly improbable, but still makes for good theater, you know.
Exactly. And, well, you know, I mean...
And part of it is the, especially during the 80s, the American fascination with Eastern culture. So, I mean, you can believe some of it because you can believe that there's some mysticism involved in Eastern culture.
Mm-hmm. See, personally, I like the second one much better because it delved more into the Eastern cultures. It delved into, you know, where all this came from. It showed him in his family dojo. You know, I mean, just that one scene where he's doing some kata. I mean, I thought that was, you know, the best part of the series, you know, the Okinawan ones. And showing how Okinawa had changed with the army bases and things like that.
But
it went back to honor, and it went back to, you know, all the basics that you want karate to be.
You know, like I said, doing some reading after Mr. Morita died, I came upon ESPN website's review of Karate Kid and Karate Kid 2, and maybe because I'm not a jock and I didn't grow up in, I grew up more as a Daniel-san than a Johnny, the ESPN site, the reviewer was talking about how who wouldn't want to go to the Cobra Kai dojo and train there, how cool that was.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm like, so totally, I couldn't believe the guy would write that. I didn't think anybody would want to train under Cobra Kai after seeing the way it was portrayed.
But isn't that the way some dojos are and maybe still are? You know, beat up the weakest. And
but they're for the most talented, and they're for the people that already have a lot of athletic ability.
Right.
Not for the rest of us.
Right.
Well, yeah, you know, they've got a real personable instructor, and they've got these sharp-looking uniforms. I mean, they're geese, for crying out loud. They don't have any sleeves on them, you know?
So, nothing wrong with sleeveless geese.
It's a modern dojo, you know, they market themselves well, and that's what it is. And that's what you get today.
But is it karate?
Well, yeah, it's karate. Sure, I mean, karate can be anything you. I mean, it can be sport. It can be self defense. It can be whatever you make it. There's a place for all of those different styles. And maybe next time we can get into a discussion about you know, about the tournament training for tournaments, maybe the extreme martial arts against, you know, versus the more traditional things that we do. I mean, you know. We've done, our dojo has done tournaments before, so some of the kids still do them. They have a good time doing them, and, you know, they're valuable. They have a place in the martial arts, I think.
Do you think children should be trained to excel in tournaments, or is that sort of against the martial way?
Well, I'll tell you, why don't we just leave that as a tickler or something?
Yeah, a teaser
for next week.
Yeah.
Because our time's running out here. We're just going to do a little thing on Mr. Miyagi and
as usual.
And I'm still getting a lot of echo.
Okay.
So it's been tough, kind of. Okay. To carry on the conversation when I can hear myself in my own headphones. So anyway, I guess what we just wanted to do tonight was we just kind of remember and honor Pat Morita.
Raise a glass of sake.
Yeah.
To Pat.
We've had a couple of follow ups. I posted on our. On our website, and I think I posted also on Fighting Arts website about it, and got a few hits there, So, it's just too bad. And then just to add insult to injury, if I may, there was a piece in the news today. Reuters had a thing where somebody defaced the brand new statue of Bruce Lee that was erected in Bosnia.
Already?
Yeah,
in Bosnia.
Wow. Yeah.
They were. The Bosnian people were looking for somebody who was, let's say, multicultural, who could appeal to, the Croats and the Muslims and everybody over there, and they thought that Bruce Lee was just that person. So they had this beautiful statue, and it was just very nice, holding a set of nunchakus. And somebody stole the chain that was connected to the nunchakus and one of the nunchakus from his hand or something like that. And it's sad,
Yeah.
It's not a good weekend for the martial arts.
No.
So anyway, but nevertheless, you got to deal with these things and just kind of move on, I guess.
Yep.
But anyway, next week we'll have another discussion for you. Hopefully be, a little bit more productive, and I won't have quite so much feedback in my headphones.
Hopefully not.
But Pete's the ultimate techno geek, and he'll be able to, fix it. If anybody can fix it, Pete can.
He's going to try.
Or he's going to order a new soundboard.
He's going to get an extra sound. One thing I would like to say before we go, I'm trying to find it here, and I can't. There was one martial artist who was also happened to be a writer and a friend of Pat Morita's, and he broke down the actual meaning of sensei. When Pat Morita said he was not a martial arts teacher, or he never studied martial arts, and sensei I guess means go before or past life, and he was saying that Pat Morita was a sensei in the true sense of the word, in the way he lived his life, in the way he people would come to him. He accepted, without being immodest, he accepted his role in life as being Mr. Miyagi forever. He would be in airports and Japanese from Japan senseis would come up and bow to him. I mean, can you imagine bowing to an actor because of the role he played?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's to me the most memorable thing about Pat Morita was the fact that he contracted spinal tuberculosis at 2 years of age, spent the next 7 years in hospital, separated from his family, in a body cast. He couldn't run around or do anything. He had spinal surgeries. Doctors told him that he would probably never walk again, and yet he did manage to walk. But unfortunately, because of the times, he walked literally walked from the hospital he was in into a waiting car accompanied by an armed FBI agent to take him to an internment camp. And he spent the next few years there in an internment camp. And, I mean, for a kid to have to go through that during the formative years, that has to have a profound effect on you. And like I said on the website, a lesser man, they would have become very angry and sullen and depressed and who knows what they would have done. But Pat Morita instead became comic actor, and to make people's lives better, and to make people laugh. So, I mean, his life could have gone in completely opposite direction, but because of the kind of a person he was, I think it's a testament to his inner character and his strength that he would do that. I mean, the Karate Kid movies aside, you know, that's nice and everything, but that's a role. And this was real life, and to me that's really somebody that you can learn from, you know.
Right.
I mean,
the old saying goes,
you know,
"Yep,
geez, you think you got it bad," yeah. You know.
But maybe that's what the martial arts spirit is all about: is taking what you've got and making your best with it.
And here's somebody who was not a martial artist teaching us that.
Right.
Exactly.
You know?
So, all right. Well, any final words there, Pete Marie?
Farewell, Mr. Miyagi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, we'll raise our sake to him tonight.
And KarateCafe.com is our website, and KarateCafe@gmail.com if you want to email us and give us any comments, criticism, constructive criticism.
Hopefully.
Topics. If you're somebody that we're doing this podcast mostly for a lot of the people that are listening are people we know. If you don't know who we are, you find our conversations interesting, you want to get involved, and you have some martial art experience, we'd be happy to let you in on our conversation. And we want people from other styles to talk to us about, to have their input.
Yeah, so, I mean, just feel free to email us, like Pete said, at karatecafe@gmail.com. Post on the forum if you want to. And if you have Skype on your computer, let us know. Email us, let us know, and we'd be happy to have you join us on a podcast. Right?
Right.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, all right. I'm Gene Myers again. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you guys again next week.
Right.
Take it easy.
Good night.
See you next week.
Good night.